We're the Three Count Podcast, and we're going to pod your effing heads in. And I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. Joining me, the Australian Dragon, Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome to the show.
G'day, Dill. How are you? Freshly squeezed. What's going on?
I'm going good. I think my cosplay's gone far enough.
keep it on the whole time.
That will do for now. But it's all about Revolution, baby, today. We're going to take you through the odds, predictions for AEW Revolution, discuss the latest buzz around the wrestling world. And for our three count draft today, we're going to draft Bryan Danielson's best feud. So stick around for that. If you want to check out our drafts or find out when new apps are going to drop, follow us on the socials at Three Count Pod and Twitter and Facebook, at Three Count Podcast on Instagram, and hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're watching or listening to us, whether it be YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Benny, let's get into it. Let's get into the news. What do you make of the new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Becky Lynch and Lita?
Now, we spoke about this live when it happened, didn't we? And look, I can see what they're trying to do, but wow, that was terrible, that match. Lita looks like she's 80, not 50. It was real bad.
Look, I mean, I don't want to throw fire on poor Shade. Lita, right? Shade. If you're coming back and you've got something, you know, this monumental possibly happening, do you get down to the PC for a month or two?
We don't know that she has it, but I mean, she just looks so bad. Like, Io was laying there waiting for her to do that moonsault for about 45 seconds.
Very slow. Did she look gassed?
I don't know if she was gassed, Matt, possibly, but even like at the beginning of the match, she sat on the ringside for most of it until Becky got the hot tag to her. And she just, like, even bouncing off the ropes, like her rope work was terrible. She just slowly go, like, I know I'm no wrestler or I can't really throw too much shade, but as a viewer, it was really hard to watch. And, you know, just, I guess they're putting on a product for us to view. So
we shouldn't know what the move that's coming up 2 seconds before it happens.
Yeah, it wasn't even botches. Like, it wasn't a botch. It was just slow motion.
Yeah, super slow. So, I mean, I think maybe it's one of those things that when you're younger, you're just naturally faster and, older you get, the more effort you've got to put into being fast.
But I guess you need to mask that with other things. You know what I mean? If you can't do it, you need to have, like Ric Flair, you know, even as he got older, even I know we talked about his retirement match a while back and how bad it was and stuff, but everything that he does in the ring and his persona and everything that he is masks that slowness and stuff like that. You know what I mean? He takes your eyes away from that. And there was just nothing else there. I know it's nostalgia and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but do we need it? There's so many women out there that are in wrestling at the moment. Do we really need Lita to come in and be teamed up with Becky Lynch? Like, I don't know.
Tell you who was quick, Trish Stratus on her way to the ring.
She did run out there fast, and I bet you were thinking, here we go, I've got my heel turn, I've called it, and no luck.
And no, boring old WWE booking. It looks like we'll... You know, I don't know where they fit this in because, you know, the rumors were it was going to be Rousey and Baszler for the women's tag champs, but now we're looking like it's going to be a damage control against Trish, Lita, and Becky.
Do we get a triple threat tag match at WrestleMania?
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Don't know.
I feel you.
But then who of Baszler? Because you need somebody on the outside, you know, or do we get Becky? Do we get Bayley versus Trish?
Maybe. I feel like...
Demi have got Bayley. The other two have got Trish. Then does Ronda and Shayna have somebody on their outside to, like, do they bring back Jessamyn Duke? Not that she's a big enough name, but, like, their four horsewomen style thing. I don't know.
Possibly. I think they'll probably just go with what we expect they're going to go with. But I don't know where that leaves Rousey and Baszler. You've got to have Rousey on the WrestleMania card somewhere.
Well, the amount of crap she's copying at the moment, I don't know. I think she might be a bit of out of favor at WWE because the fans are off her bad.
All right. So speaking of WrestleMania, we have a host. It's The Miz.
Awesome.
Probably not as exciting as a lot of people would have hoped, but...
Yeah, he set us up beautifully for that, didn't he?
He did.
That whole segment, but...
he did. I was sitting there going, they're going to make us wait a week to find out what's in that damn envelope. Set us up very well. So The Miz hosting WrestleMania.
You know what I thought was going to be the envelope? I thought it was going to be she's pregnant. I thought Maurice was going to be pregnant. That's what I thought it was going to be, because the way you're going on about how she's given me two beautiful daughters, and I was like, oh, it's just going to be she's pregnant.
It's
going to
and
be
it's a boy.
Like a sonograph or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a boy.
Yeah. Well, no, probably better for Miz hosting WrestleMania, knowing how looking after a baby is now. We have the King and Queen of the Ring are returning May 27. They're gonna have their own night. So it's not the Queen's Crown anymore. It's going to be Queen of the Ring. The same weekend as Double or Nothing, not at the same day, though.
Yeah, I guess it's premium live events, just what they do now. They just pump them out. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Will they have the pre-matches leading up to it and then only have two matches each on the card, or will the whole thing just be only that's it for the card, no other matches?
Yeah. Maybe they should just have the tournament run all night. You know, you've got to wrestle three matches in a night to win.
I like that, though. I think
that's cool. I'd be a fan of that. Now, we have one of the WrestleMania matches locked in. I know you're a huge fan of this one. Now, Brock Lesnar and Omos, reportedly a Vince McMahon joint, getting his fingers back in the pies again. But also, you were telling me you had some mail earlier that Lesnar nixed a match with Wyatt.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. I don't know if it was, I can't remember who it was through, but they wanted to go with Lesnar versus Wyatt, and Lesnar came out and said, nah, don't want it. So I think Lesnar must still have some pull, and he is still a Vince guy. So
yeah,
Vince has probably turned around and gone, all right, put him in with Omos. But really,
yeah, that screams out filler to me.
Yeah, yeah. Toilet match.
Toilet match for sure. Now, Matt Riddle's suspension has been lifted. I don't know if we'll see him anytime soon, but there is the possibility that he could come back soon.
Where would he fit in at the moment? That's the thing. Randy's still out, so we don't have RK-Bro. I guess he comes back with gets Seth. Does he team up with Logan Paul?
I mean, I think depending on how long Randy's going to be out, if it's not too much longer, you might as well just hold him off.
Yeah.
Have them come in, do a run in, but if Randy's still a long way off, I think they'll be going their separate ways. WWE-centric, the news. We do have some AEW news, though possibly more storyline than news. Eddie Kingston has quit AEW.
Yeah, the way it happened, the interviewer was kind of like, is he for real? Like, but the fact that AEW pushed it out means to me it's all storyline.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He's going over to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it'll be.
So a little bit interesting, but also storyline. All right, not too much in the news. Let's get into Revolution, Benny. I know it's your favorite time of the podcast.
Fans, I am sorry. This is going to be bad.
It's quiz time. I have kept it short, seeing as we're only in the fourth year of Revolution, coming to you for the first time from the Chase Arena in San Francisco this year. Now, there are six wrestlers on this year's card who've performed at every Revolution so far, but only one of them is undefeated. Who is it?
Ooh. See, now this was one of those ones that I feel like I was going to look up because I feel like, can I rattle off the six? Is it?
You can rattle off the six if you want.
Is it Moxley?
Mox?
Jericho?
Jericho.
Hangman?
Hangman.
Sammy Guevara?
No.
Jungle Boy? Nah, he must have missed one as well. All right.
The Bucks are in there.
Okay. All right, let's go.
It is one of those ones that you've named.
Yeah. Well, it's not Mox because he lost to Hangman. I think it might be Hangman. Is it Hangman?
It is Hangman Adam Page, 3-0.
Yeah.
He beat the Bucks teaming with Kenny Omega. He beat Matt Hardy and he beat Adam Cole. So 3-0 for Hangman Adam Page. Now, out of those ones mentioned, someone has yet to taste victory at Revolution. Who is that?
Jericho.
Jericho is 0-3. He lost to Mox. He lost to the Bucks with MJF and he lost to Eddie Kingston. Now, at Revolution, there's been 10 times where there's been titles on the line over the course of the last 3 years. Between the women's tag, TNT, TBS, and world title, 10 times. How many times has a title changed hands?
Okay. Well, I know once because that was when Mox beat Jericho for the first one. And then as for any others, it's definitely, that was the only one that I really remember. So I'm going to just take a stab and say three.
The answer is actually one.
Oh, so I should have stuck with it. There
just
we
that one At time least I
knew
you
what
got.
It was. I knew it was the one, so I was all right. That's kind of half a point.
Surprisingly, 10 yeah. times, only once has any title changed hands. So maybe we'll see something different this year.
Which says a lot about my card coming up.
Okay, now we've had one, two, three, four, five, six people make their debut at Revolution, two each year. Can you name, how many of the six can you name?
Probably zero. Nah.
Nah, giving up, just yeah. tapping out straight away.
Yeah. I can't even think because it's so short, but it's also so many people going through AEW. I don't know, somebody like a Miro or a, I don't know.
No, okay. So we've got Colt Cabana and Jake Hager made theirs in 2020. Ethan Page and Christian Cage in 2021. And Swerve and William Regal in 2022.
Okay. I was almost going to guess Keith Lee, but then I realized he'd come a bit later. So Swerve was around the same sort of...
Swerve made his announcement official at Revolution.
Right.
And, of course, we had the famous Regal run-in after the Mox Bryan Danielson match.
That's right.
All right, that's it. You're off the hook now. You did pretty well, Benny.
Not bad, not bad.
Did pretty well. Let's get into the card. We've had the first match we'll talk about has only just been named. No holds barred match. Christian Cage and Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy paying $1.23. Christian Cage $3.70.
Yeah, interesting little, not much of a build-up. Obviously, Cage came out yesterday on Dynamite, gave his little promo. And then Jungle Boy did that weird, buried thing and like the tombs. I thought it was going to be a buried alive match originally. Like, but the way they were doing it, I was like, what is he trying to symbolize? You know, he's gone all personal. Christian Cage has gone personal, saying about his dad and stuff like that. So it'll be a pretty hard full on match between these two. They'll put it on with all the back history and all that kind of stuff. I think Jungle Boy probably needs the win if they want to elevate him to anything. So I'm going to go with that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Cage win.
Well, see, we've had this match before and Jungle Boy was the overwhelming favorite and Christian just came in and just dominated him.
Yeah.
So I think this is the return match for that. So Jungle Boy for me.
Yeah.
I think we do see Luchasaurus at some point.
Which side's he going to be on?
Yeah, but I think it's time for this Jungle Boy Christian Cage to be over. And if he's pushing for a title, then this win will definitely help him to that.
Yeah.
All right, we have the AEW World Trios Championship, the Elite and House of Black. The Elite paying $1.57. They've actually gone out a little bit. And House of Black, $2.25. So it's getting towards even, this one.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't much of this on Dynamite. You know, we had just the Elite coming out then getting jumped by the House of Black. They were holding the titles. It's never a good sign when the leading TV tapings, you're holding the title when you're going for the title.
Yeah.
Doesn't
the kiss of death. Usually,
yeah, doesn't stem well. But I'm going to go with the House of Black. I'm going to roll the dice.
Do you know what? I'm rolling the dice too. Look, it's looking like they want to push the House of Black, give them the titles. More fun for the Elite if they're chasing them or have them get back to, you know, Bucks and Omega as separate acts. So I'm with you.
I think with all the contract stuff or whatever else is going on with them, I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, AEW Women's World Championship three-way match, Jamie Hayter, Saraya, Ruby Soho. Jamie Hayter, $1.37, Saraya, $3.25, Soho, $5. Now, I'll throw in my pick first here. This is my upset pick of the night. I have Ruby Soho at $5 winning the title. God knows she's earned it. What could be more fun than the AEW originals battling the newbies with Soho in the middle with the title?
Oh, I just don't know. Look, power to you. But I think Soho could be $20 in this match, to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she's an afterthought. Look, I'm going to say Jamie Hayter keeps the title, but I've put here in brackets Saraya. I feel like, are they going to do anything with her or not? If they're going to do anything with her, then, you know, she wins the title tomorrow, on Monday, but I'm going to go with Jamie Hayter for the safe money.
safe money there. I feel like she needs more ring work. And
Soraya?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got to prove she can put on like a great one-on-one match.
Well, this is the thing. Tony Storm's doing all the work for her at the moment.
Absolutely.
So I think that's where it'll be. And then they break up Tony Storm and Soraya. And then that's those two go for the title.
Okay.
And then Britt Baker comes back into the title picture after.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Interesting note, Britt Baker not on the card this year, but she is 3-0 at Revolution as well. We move on to the singles match. Chris Jericho, Ricky Starks, the JAS barred from ringside. This has actually come in a little bit as well. Starks $1.67, Jericho $2.
What are your thoughts?
I've got Starks. I'm taking the favorite. Jericho's always got something up his spike little sleeve, but I think Starks needs this win more than Jericho does. I've got Jericho going 0-4 at Revolution.
Exactly what I've written here. Starks needs this win more than Jericho. Jericho will put him over and Jericho will come out of this looking better by putting someone over again.
The dude just loses and loses and loses and looks better every hour.
That's what I mean. Exactly.
Lost to Action Andretti a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, like, but he does that so well. He loves AEW, you know, he loves the company. It appears to be that way anyway. And he's happy to put over this newer, younger talent. Not that he's new, but younger talent than what he is, which isn't hard because he's probably the oldest person on the roster.
Yeah.
But I think there'll be shenanigans. Of course, there will. Somebody will come out. Somebody new might join the JAS. And because, you know, they're not part of the JAS, so they're technically allowed at ringside. So that sort of breaks that little thing. But then Stark still overcomes it and wins the title. Wins the match.
I like where your head's at there.
Yeah.
AEW TNT Championship match, Samoa Joe, Wardlow. Wardlow, $1.20. Joe, $4.
This is just more big men going at it. We've got Wardlow, and then we've got to throw Hobbs back in after his win on Dynamite. Can you tell me why the face for the ladder match was on Dynamite instead of at Revolution?
That's an interesting question.
Every other year it's been at Revolution, yeah?
Yeah, I feel like they just wanted to, because it's for a shot at the TNT title, yeah.
Didn't make sense.
I can't answer that to you other than maybe they feel like they've got enough in the card to go the time and they thought it might take too long.
Yeah. Well, but that was the thing with Revolution the other day. It felt almost like a pay-per-view card, if that makes sense. There was a lot of titles and that kind of stuff on the line. It was different, but I guess, you know, they're just trying to push it as hard as they can.
Well, it seemed like all the referees really wanted Hobbs to win.
The way they held that ladder.
Three of them holding the ladder for him to climb up.
It ended up being five at the end when he was trying to get down because he was on the very top rung and he couldn't get down when he was holding the ring. I'm going to actually go with Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Hobbs will be out there somewhere and Wardlow will get distracted and Samoa will take the win.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Wardlow here. I think Joe's going to start his way over at Ring of Honor. Now they've got the TV show.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then hopefully we'll quickly get through this Hobbs Wardlow business.
I like Hobbs. I like him.
Give him the title.
Yeah.
Wardlow doesn't need it.
I picked Hobbs when they had the three-way. So, I mean, I wanted Hobbs to win. So
let's push him. Let's push him. They seem like they were with the vignettes, which kind of went nowhere. We then have the Texas Death Match, John Moxley, Hangman Adam Page. Page, $1.28, Mox, $3.40.
Wow. I've got Mox here.
Wow.
I just think he doesn't need it. I don't think Hangman needs it. I don't think either of them need it. It's just going to be one of those matches where you're just sitting there the whole time going, okay, wow.
I'll respectfully disagree with you there. I think Page does need it. Mox definitely doesn't need it. He looks like a crazy person no matter what he does. But I think Page, after, you know, getting the hell beat out of him and, you know, having the concussion, I think like a gritty, tough, like bloodbath win could really get him back on track.
Okay. I can see what you're saying. I just think, you know, he's got that too much of a nice guy attitude. So I guess if he does do that and does go crazy, and it could change his character a little bit and could get a bit more respect. So I don't mind that, but I'm still going to go with Mox. Guaranteed claret. We've got colour.
Yeah, that's paying. Color. That's paying a dollar. Best color in that match.
99 cents. You lose money.
We then have the AEW World Tag Team Championship 4-way match. Got the Guns, the Acclaimed, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. We've got the guns at $1.36, Acclaimed at $3.50, Lethal and Jarrett at $4.33, and Cassidy and Danhausen at $5.50.
Okay, so we were talking about titles not changing hands before, and I've already gone the House of Black winning the titles. Hater keeping the title. So I think you probably got to go with the guns, right? They're not going to do too many title swaps. I've written down the Acclaimed. So I've just said the guns. I've written down the Acclaimed. But I'm just going to throw it out there. Danhausen and Freshly Squeezed, man.
Well, there's plenty of room in the backpack for another title, right?
Exactly right. Why else would he say that if that wasn't the case? Why would they put him in the match if that wasn't the case the other day to even get in there? I think I'm still going with the claim, but don't be surprised if Danhausen and Freshly Squeezed win the match.
I'm taking the favorite here. I've got the guns to win. I think we're finally going to get that Billy heel guns. Turn.
Yeah. I was just waiting for that. You said it, I thought it.
And if the Acclaimed are like this close to winning the titles and Billy screws them out of it to help his kids, you know, the three of them together are just going to be, they're going to have so much heel heat.
Yeah.
And I think they're like slowly building up the heel heat with them. And it's working. Like,
I like it.
You want to see them get beat, but yeah, guns to win for me.
Can I change my pick?
if you want.
I said the guns first. So I mean,
that you did. The AEW World Championship 60-minute Ironman match. MJF, Bryan Danielson, shortest odds of the night. MJF, $1.07. Wow. Danielson, $6.50.
Wow. I didn't realize he'd be that short.
Very short odds.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
Look, I don't know how they approach this one. Look, I think MJF gets check back there. That's.
I was just going to say, I did see you sign this week, man.
That's the prediction. I think MJF gets a win or two by cheating. He grabs the ropes or the tights or whatever. You know, maybe he uses the Dynamite ring for one. Danielson gets his fair and square. Maybe it's 2-2. And then MJF sneaks one away in the dying moments to win it 3-2.
So you think we're going to have quite a few pinfalls?
Right? I think there's going to be a few pinfalls.
Yeah, we're not going to get like the good old Bret Hart, HBK, nil all overtime.
Nah, it's been done. It's been done.
Yeah.
I don't think we go to extra time either.
So the 3-2, is it going to be like with 10 seconds to go? Because that's been done as well.
It's going to be in the last minute or two.
Yeah. See, I feel like it's going to be like a 4-0, 3-0 style thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because that hasn't been done. You know what I mean?
Just a domination.
Because it's going to look like Brian's. So I'm going with MJF. It's going to look like Brian's going to get a pin count, and then it's just going to get a kick out. Like he's going to have so many false finishes, but then MJF will get these lucky wins.
What if you approach it this way? You have MJF get like 4 falls in the first 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, and then he.
And then back. The next 30 is Danielson trying to build back.
Yeah.
And he gets to 3.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. That kind of works.
It's the way to do it. We'll see. It'll be really interesting to see how they book this one.
The thing is, we know Daniel Bryan can go the 60 minutes. MJF, can he go that time?
Well, according to his social media, which is just him lifting weights, but saying that he's an Iron Man. Apparently he can.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But I'm going MJF as well.
MJF for me as well. Take the $1.07. And that is it for the Revolution card. Let's get to the 3-count draft, Benny. Bryan Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, his best feuds.
This was a bit tougher than I thought it was going to be.
It was. There's some good stuff out there. Now, this might be controversial. You might throw the X up and say, no, you can't have it. But my first pick's going to be the Authority.
They were my first pick as well. So
the Authority for me, which is mainly really just Triple H.
Well, I wrote down Authority, Randy Orton, Triple H, because you know Randy Orton was involved, but Triple H, you know, screwed him. And
I'll take Triple H with that, but I'll leave Randy Orton there if you want him.
Nah, look, it's the same sort of time frame and stuff like that for me.
Okay,
I think it's all one.
The Authority for me, number one pick.
Look. It's not, I just can't go past this one. It's The Miz. Like, It was when he came in through Tough Enough and all that kind of, was it Tough Enough?
It was through NXT at the time, and, yeah, and Miz was
his mentor,
even though he'd been wrestling for more years than the Miz had.
Yeah, and then like they did that whole thing where the Daniel Bryan ended up on the Survivor Series team instead of the Miz, and it was comedic gold, but there were some good matches in there, and the way they worked it, you can't go past it. I think it's his best rivalry ever.
And absolutely, and it led to one of the Miz's, you know, absolute best promos on Talking Smack.
Oh yeah,
where Dan Bryan just called him a coward for the way he wrestles, and Miz just
lost it.
Just cut sick. That's why I'm here day in day out, because I don't wrestle like you.
Yeah.
That is great. That was my number two pick. Number three, I'm going to go with heel Daniel Bryan. Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
You know, Kofi Mania.
Yeah. With his, what was it? For the planet, the world title belt.
With the all natural wooden title belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just something about, you know, vegan Daniel Bryan just pushing veganism and save the world down your throat that just made you hate him.
No, I'm with you. That was also on my list. All right. My next pick. It's a bit of a Homer pick, but I'm going to go Bray Wyatt / The Fiend.
Well, I'm going to throw an X up here.
You're going to break them up?
Which Bray Wyatt?
Well, you know, you had the Bray Wyatt before he ended up joining the Wyatt family and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I'm going with that one. But he also did have The Fiend rivalry as well.
I'll give you both.
No. Look, I mean, if you want to use one, you can. But I'd say the Bray Wyatt feud originally, when he was wearing the overalls and he became part of the Wyatt family and all that kind of stuff. That's sort of the one that comes to mind. But I know he also did have the feud with The Fiend. So if you want to use that one, go right ahead.
I'll let you have it. And I'll take Randy Orton with mine.
When you put up the pictures on Instagram for the thing, can you make sure it's a picture of Daniel Bryan in the overalls?
Okay. I'll find a Bryan overalls pick. All right, next pick here. I'm going to turn my sights to AEW, and I'm going to take Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the longest feud, but, you know, it built the Blackpool Combat Club, and those two just wanted to beat the absolute piss out of each other, and they did. Mm. And they just couldn't decide who was the better man until William Regal came out and said, hey, you're both pretty good men.
You both are, yeah. No, I completely agree with that one. All right, I'm going to throw it back a little bit here. And now I've heard of this rivalry, but I had to do a little bit of deep diving to have a look at it stuff. But I'm going to go with Ring of Honor days against Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah, I thought you might go there.
Yeah.
Built
who Daniel Bryan was, you know what I mean? That's back in the Ring of Honor days. And just Nigel McGuinness and him just put on some of the greatest matches.
I was the same. I had to do a deep dive on that one and, just put on some absolute classics.
Yeah.
Absolute classics. All right, Nigel McGuinness there. I am going to take the biggest Homer pick of them all, CM Punk.
I almost took that.
Look, two indie darlings who, you know, shook it up here and there, but then, you know, on the big stage in WWE really, really made some magic.
Yeah, that's a great pick. What's this number four? Do I take this MJF one? Nah, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns. It was all sort of intertwined with Edge as well, you know, that whole ended up with the triple threat stuff and that. But so Roman and him, like Roman was just the biggest heel. And the way Daniel Bryan was just that character that everybody loved, it just pushed Roman a bit higher, I think.
Absolutely.
It's more of a pushing Roman feud than anything, but the way Daniel Bryan just was so loved by the fans, it really elevated. They had some good matches as well, but Edge was also thrown in there, intertwined and stuff like that as well, but Roman Reigns.
Good pick. All right, down to my last pick. It's kind of slim pickings from here, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
I've got
one that I don't mind for my fifth pick, if you don't take it.
Well, I'm actually going to kind of lean into your last pick with my last pick.
Yeah, okay.
Jey Uso.
Yeah.
Main event Jey Uso, because they wrestled way more times than him and Roman Reigns did.
100%
And they actually had quite a good budding rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, when they were really pushing Jey Uso as that singles competitor. And then, you know, he's also had, you know, the Usos had their problems with Bryan and Rowan and when they were the tag champs. So, you know, there's a little bit of history there, but Jey Uso for me.
Yeah, completely agree. It's on my list. And then, like you just said, the whole him and Rowan thing with the Usos, that was on one of my honorable mentions. So there you go. But my fifth pick is going to be two of the guys that pretty much held SmackDown together. And it was when him and AJ were at the top on SmackDown. I think they had a pretty decent rivalry against each other.
Absolutely. Another two kind of indie darlings.
Yeah. There wasn't a whole heap of promo work and all that kind of stuff. It was just, they were just in the ring every week putting on just some brilliant matches.
Two words, can wrestle.
Can wrestle.
Can wrestle.
Yeah. No, I like
those
it.
Those two guys.
Yeah.
All right. What have you got for some honorable mentions, Benny?
Well, like I said, I had the Usos. I had Jey Uso. Also, their tag run with him and Rowan against Heavy Machinery at the time, that was pretty full on.
Yeah.
And then this was more just, I don't remember this as, well, I had MJF as well, this current one, you could call it kind of use. But there was that little feud that he had with Drew Gulak as well, which, you know, more of that little mat wrestling style stuff that really sort of, it wasn't that long, but it was sort of interesting and it sort of elevated Gulak a little bit, which what, you know, that's what Bryan Danielson does.
Yeah. Yeah. Puts on wrestling clinics.
Yeah.
Now I had, I couldn't remember if this was ever a feud or not, to be honest. My memory was running blank on this. Kane. So him and Kane, obviously tag team champs. They had the Hell No.
Yeah. Was there a feud? I couldn't remember either.
I don't remember them actually fighting with each other. I'm sure they did.
They would have had to.
Obviously, didn't make the list because we couldn't remember.
You just made the list.
Yeah. I had Sami Zayn. Him and Sami Zayn had some great matches for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
And the last one, you know, not so much a feud as well, but, you know, his match with Kenny Omega when he first came into AEW. Just, you know, two guys who you never thought would battle and just put on an absolute five-star match.
The other one that I had was just when I was going down the Nigel McGuinness Ring of Honor thing, there was apparently him and Chris Hero had a quite a bit of a feud going on there a little bit, put on some great matches as well. But I didn't really put it on the list or anything. I just sort of remember reading about it. So
him and Tyler Black as well.
Yeah, okay.
Old Seth Rollins had some great matches back in the day too. So, all right, there we go. Bryan Danielson's best feuds. I have The Authority, Kofi Kingston, John Moxley, CM Punk, and Jey Uso. Benny's got The Miz, Bray Wyatt, Nigel McGuinness, Roman Reigns, and AJ Styles. So there you have it. Bryan Danielson, good luck against MJF.
Some big names there.
Big names. And that is it for the show this week. We're going to be back next week. We'll break down everything that happened at Revolution. Start looking ahead to WrestleMania. Plus, we'll have all the latest news and another 3-count draft as well. Thanks for joining us, Benny.
Thank you very much. Still 30 days to WrestleMania, I think it is. Maybe 29.
30 days, counting down.
Hey, Revolution this weekend. Let's go.
In the meantime, go and enjoy Revolution. And we'll see you again next time on the 3-count podcast.